Thanks, Alice. If we haven't met before, my name's Matt. I'm the pastor of Southern Cross Ganellabar. Introducing myself is something that I've been forgetting to do because I've met this camera plenty of times before, but I may not have met you. As Katja was saying earlier, with restrictions being lifted, I hope that that we'll be able to meet in person soon. At least in small numbers, we can do that. And I'm certainly looking forward to the time when we can all gather together as God's people in Lismore and Ganellabar. Keep your Bibles open there at 2 Corinthians chapter 1. But before we get into the passage, what's this series all about? The good news we almost forgot. Well, this term, we're exploring what God has to say about some of the topics covered in this book, which is written by Kevin DeYoung, topics which are at the core of biblical Christian theology. DeYoung wrote this book in response to his studies at Bible College of the Heidelberg Catechism. That's my copy. So what on earth is that? Well, it's a document written, well, this one was printed days ago, but the original document was written some 450 years ago in Heidelberg and used to help Christians learn about and memorize important core biblical truths. That's what a catechism is. It's a tool used for teaching. And the Heidelberg Catechism is a series of 129 questions and answers. And even though it might seem old-fashioned or out of date or just plain unnecessary to some, as this 21st century pastor read through and studied the 16th century catechism, his love for God's word and his passion for sharing the gospel was reignited. See, the catechism itself isn't authoritative or infallible, and nor is any other book other than this one, God's Word, the Bible. Though these other books can be helpful in pointing us back to the ultimate truth and authority of the Bible. So as we dig into God's Word together on Sundays and through our DNA groups, as you read it with your families and in your own quiet time with God, I'll be praying that we fall more in love with Jesus and His Word, and that God, by His Holy Spirit, will guard our hearts against the danger of forgetting the good news of His love and grace. How about I pray now before we take a look at this passage from 2 Corinthians chapter 1. Heavenly Father, we pray that You would help us this morning to put aside anything that might distract us from Your Word. Father, we want to know You better. We want to know Your Word better. And please reignite in us a passion to share Your love with others. In Jesus' name, amen. Well, this passage in 2 Corinthians chapter 1, it talks a lot about comfort. When you generally think about comfort, where does your mind go? Where do you find comfort? Your cozy bed? Or your favourite chair? Are you comforted by others, family and friends? Are you comforted by the idea that we can start to see people more often now? Does your idea of comfort take you somewhere quiet and peaceful? Or maybe you find comfort through activity, staying fit and healthy. And many people turn to certain foods for comfort. And what's your guess at the top three comfort foods in Australia? Well, I was surprised to find out that the top comfort foods for Australia is pizza, followed by bangers and mash and sausage rolls. Chocolate didn't even make the top 10. It really is a crazy, crazy world at the moment. And I want to acknowledge, as I thought about all of these so-called comforts, that the world is so crazy. As some of us find comfort in luxuries, while others find comfort in simple things, like having food on the table or a roof over their head. The idea of comfort can be so different to different people. So what's comforting about all these things? Mostly that they make you feel safe and secure, or perhaps just a little more secure than you were before you had them. When you find comfort, somehow you feel a sense of everything being okay. Like a parent comforting a hurting child, hugging them and telling them, everything is going to be okay. But is that the kind of comfort that Paul is talking about here? Soft pillows, warm blankets, and bellies full of food that makes us feel good. Do these things offer true comfort at all? Have a listen to how Paul describes God in verse 3. Praise be to the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, the Father of compassion and the God of all comfort. Now we know that Paul suffered many, many trials, as we can see from verses 8 to 10, and by reading Acts and other letters that Paul wrote, he definitely suffered. Yet he still, here in verse 1, praises the God of all comfort. Compared to the things that we've just been thinking about, the creature comforts that come to mind, this comfort here in 2 Corinthians chapter 1 has to be a different kind of comfort. Here in 2 Corinthians chapter 1, the comfort Paul talks about is comfort amid suffering, not outside of it. It's comfort that gives you strength, not to escape hardship, but to endure it. Paul is describing a comfort that doesn't fade as things get tougher, but rather increases in strength. This is a lasting, solid foundation of comfort, a deep knowledge and a deep confidence that everything really is okay. This is true comfort. And Paul says that this comfort is from God and only from God. There's no doubt about it here. This is quite an absolute statement. He says God is the God of all comfort, because he is the only one who can offer true, lasting comfort. And in verse 4 he says, God comforts us in all our troubles. God's true comfort isn't about removing us from all the troubles of the world, but he comforts us in all our troubles. So what kind of trouble are we able to withstand with God's comfort? Well, the extent of Paul's suffering is described here in verses 8 and 9. We were under great pressure, far beyond our ability to endure, so that we despaired life itself. Indeed, we felt we had received the sentence of death. This was fair dinkum hardship. This was full-on suffering. Yet he was able to endure more than that, to rejoice, to praise God for his comfort, not by removing him from hardship, but strengthening him to endure. Now look at the second half of verse 9. This happened that we might not rely on ourselves, but on God, who raises the dead. How did Paul endure? What was the underlying comfort that carried him through? It was the knowledge that he was okay. The assurance from the God of the universe that he was okay. Not just that he might be okay, but that no matter what, even if he did die, and of course eventually he did, as we all will, even in death, Paul knew he was okay, because Jesus had already endured for Paul what he was not able to endure. Payment for his sin on the cross. That's the comfort of God. If your faith is in Jesus for the forgiveness of your sins, then he is your comfort. The knowledge of God's love is our comfort, freely and graciously given. And it's comforting to know that there's nothing in this world that can separate us from Him and from the glory that awaits us in Christ. Our hope, the only hope that comforts us, is the fact that Jesus had rescued us. He has freed us from sin and death. And we don't want to forget that we are sinful and we need rescuing. And our comfort is in the fact that Jesus had rescued us. By the perfect sacrifice of Jesus, we rely on God, who raises the dead. The God of all comfort has raised us from the dead. We were dead in our sin and now made alive in Christ. Now think about Paul's perils described in verses 8 to 10. Despair and suffering to the point of death. And yet if you turn just a little further along in this same letter, in chapter 4, verse 17, Paul says that our light and momentary troubles are achieving for us an eternal glory that far outweighs them all. How can such terrible suffering be reduced to light and momentary? Because these trials drive us to depend on God and to turn our focus to the Saviour and the eternal glory that He graciously shares with us. We are comforted as we share in the sufferings of Christ because we are reminded that we don't belong to the world. We're at odds with the world. But that's so comforting because it also reminds us that we belong to Jesus. And Jesus has already secured our victory over our sin. Not for a momentary 10 years or 100 years or even 1,000 years, but for eternity. You see, with our eyes fixed on Jesus, His glory makes everything in the world seem so insignificant, and our troubles become light and momentary in comparison. Isn't it comforting to know that we no longer belong to a dead world, but that in Christ we've been adopted as children of the living God of all comfort, and He has lavished His love upon us? If you're looking for a gospel where you won't suffer in this world, then please stop. You won't find it here in God's Word. You might find those empty promises out there in the world, but that's all they are. Empty promises. Praise be to the God of all comfort. Jesus didn't come to save us from our sadness or physical circumstances or our worldly troubles, but He came to save us from a far greater trouble, the consequences of our sin. Jesus came to rescue us from the death that we deserve because of our sin. And He did that for us by willingly taking our sin upon Himself and laying down His life to pay the price for it on our behalf. He gave us the most wonderful gift, the joy of knowing Him and living with Him. By His Spirit continuing His work through us. And He achieved that for us by His suffering. Christ suffered as He revealed God's love for the world. And as He continues to reveal God's love for the world through us, we'll also suffer. But the comfort from God, our relationship with Him through Jesus, infinitely outweighs our afflictions. I love the language there in verse 5. For just as we share abundantly in the sufferings of Christ, so also our comfort abounds through Christ. God's love and His comfort are abundant. It's guaranteed. And check out a little bit further down in the chapter, where we didn't read, but down in verse 22, God set his seal of ownership on us and put his Spirit in our hearts as a deposit guaranteeing what is to come. Now, a guarantee is only as good as the one who gives it. So how comforting is it to know the God of all comfort, the God of the universe, has guaranteed our eternal life. We don't have to wait until we die to find out whether we may or may not be saved. He guarantees it now. And we don't have to wait to receive his Spirit. He dwells in us now. Through faith in Jesus, we are saved by him. We've received his Spirit, and we belong to the God of all comfort. See, we live in a time where it's becoming increasingly obvious that there are so few guarantees in life. And we live in a time where we have to be careful what we share. Well, this comfort from God is a comfort that is meant to be shared. His comfort is for our good, and it's also for the good of others. Have a look at verse 4. God comforts us in all our troubles, so that we can comfort those in any trouble with the comfort we ourselves receive from God. How often do you offer a friend advice about an issue that they're struggling with? Maybe someone you've been praying for an opportunity to share the gospel with. They come to you struggling and hurting, but rather than tell them the gospel, you just try and make them feel better. Well, you care for them, right? Of course you want to make them feel better. What sort of friend wouldn't? But unfortunately, we often miss the opportunity to share real comfort. We miss the opportunity to share the life-giving, everlasting, joyful good news of Jesus. We try to comfort them ourselves without sharing the comfort that we have received from God. And we can't forget the comfort that we've received from God. We can't forget that that is for sharing his comfort with others. Not with a worldly, temporary, false gospel, but we share the true comfort of the gospel of Jesus. As much as we want to rescue our friends from whatever is troubling them, we're not their rescuer. And we can't lead them to believe that. We have to lead them to Christ with the good news that Jesus came to save them from their sin. They can't forget the good news that they are sinners saved by God. And his comfort will strengthen them to endure their troubles with the same comfort that strengthens us. Of course, Jesus cares for them in their troubles. It breaks his heart to see all these things happening in the world because we still suffer from the effects of sin. But he didn't say that these things would stop happening. Jesus came and dealt with the root cause of the problem. He put our sin to death, freed us from its grip, and guaranteed our adoption as children of God for eternity, for those who put their trust in him. We should absolutely be there to support our friends in distress and help them emotionally, physically, financially. But if we are to truly love them, we can't forget the good news of God's comfort. Sharing the comfort of knowing Jesus amid the suffering in the world, that's what our friends need above all else. And what does Paul hope for his brothers and sisters in Corinth? And our hope for you is firm, because we know that just as you share in our sufferings, so also you share in our comfort. He doesn't hope for his Christian brothers and sisters to be spared from all suffering, but to endure it. And in turn, they rely more and more on the everlasting comfort of Christ. Our prayer for each other must be for growth in godliness. Our prayer is that we grow in godliness by reading and meditating on His Word, by talking with Him in prayer, by sharing with one another life and the gospel in all circumstances. We want to know Him more and more. We want to fall more and more in love with Jesus. And we want our passion for sharing the gospel to be reignited. And living this kind of life, living for Jesus, means that we will endure suffering with joy in the comfort of knowing Him. A while back, when we used to be able to sit in coffee shops, I couldn't help but to overhear two blokes talking about a friend. The first words that I heard were, "How about that Jane? She leads a different kind of life, doesn't she?" Now, her name wasn't actually Jane. I've changed it for the story. You see, I know a few ladies by the name that they mentioned. And at first I thought, for sure, the life that they're going to describe is a life of sacrificially, generously, and joyfully sharing the gospel. A life of suffering, yet joy in knowing and sharing God's comfort. And that would have been a suitable description for the people that I knew, that I was thinking of. But what they described and celebrated was just about the complete opposite. They described a life of luxury and indulgence, a super comfortable, jet-setting, wine-sipping, see-and-do-everything, self-centered kind of life. And they thought it was great. But I was so disappointed. And yet at the same time, I was challenged as I thought about my own indulgences, especially as I sat there sipping on my coffee. As followers of Jesus, we're called to live a different kind of life. We don't seek a comfortable life, but rather we are comforted in all our troubles. Comforted by the fact that we belong to Jesus and are assured of eternal life by the Holy Spirit. Our one and only true comfort in life and death is that we belong to Jesus. I read earlier from 2 Corinthians chapter 4, verse 17, and I'm going to finish with that verse and the verse that follows. "For our light and momentary troubles are achieving for us an eternal glory that far outweighs them all. So, we fix our eyes not on what is seen, but on what is unseen, since what is seen is temporary, but what is unseen is eternal." Well, praise be to the God of all comfort, who has, by His grace, rescued us from our sin, and He's called us into His eternal glory through Jesus Christ. Let me pray. Heavenly Father, we thank You for Your grace, Your wonderful, everlasting comfort in Jesus. Lord, we confess that we don't always respond to You the way we should. Lord, we recognize our weakness and we ask for Your strength. Father, You have poured Your love out and poured Yourself into our hearts. Lord, thank You for the gift of Your Holy Spirit, who convinces us of the truth of the gospel, reminds us of our need for You and of Your eternal comfort given to us freely in Jesus. Father, strengthen us through our troubles as we fix our eyes on Jesus, our one comfort in life and death. And help us to point others to Him so that they will know Your comfort and be saved. And we pray all this in Jesus' precious and powerful name. Amen.